Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Happy Hour. I feel like I say this at the beginning of every one of the guests. I'm like, this is the best guest ever. But this really is a special guest because we have been friends for so long. Sasha is one of my oldest friends. She's one of my first friends I made in college. So yeah, today we are joined by Sasha. Tell us about yourself.
Obviously, my name's Sasha from California. Live in New York City right now. And Gretchen's one of my best friends for a really, really long time. So, you know, I'm very proud and, you know, of everything that she's accomplished. And being on this podcast is like a culmination of everything. I think that's a word, but maybe a culmination of everything. Culmination. And so it's good to be on and, you know, have a good catch up and chat. You know, she's very busy. So trying to even pinpoint and find 5 minutes to talk to her, have her pick up my phone call, whatever.
No, this is so good because I feel like I always say this with guests on the podcast. I'm like, this is such a good excuse for me to have like an hour of their time to catch up because Sasha and I are so busy. Sasha is so busy too. He's always working. He's very busy, obviously living in New York City. So this is just like selfishly a good episode so that we can catch up. And we haven't caught up in so long, you guys. So like so many things I'm sure we'll talk about. You'll be hearing my first reaction because I'm hearing it for the first time too. But you're from San Francisco. Where in New York do you live?
Live in the East Village. So live in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So
weren't you in Midtown before? But now you're in East Village?
Yeah, so that's a little story, right? Like I lived in Times Square.
Why would you do that?
So I moved from California with literally maybe like, you know, $2,500 to my name. And I had a job, had all this stuff, and I needed to find an apartment. And the thing about New York is when you try to find apartments, you have to be in New York to find an apartment. They move within 2 or 3 days, right? Mm-hmm. So I flew to New York at a hotel room for 2 days. And in those 2 days, I walked like 30 miles because I didn't understand subways. I was kind of dumb. And mind you, like as a California kid in San Francisco. And so came across a place and I was like, oh shit, Times Square is awesome. Like this is the best place ever, right? This is where everyone wants to be. And I ended up being on top of a barber shop and a masseuse parlor that was open till 12 p.m. if you get what I'm saying, and maybe a little bit later. So it's a little bit of a sketchy area. I lived literally in Times Square. Like I could see, I was on the fifth floor, and on my roof you can actually see into Times Square. So like it was actually really cool. But I spent the last little bit of my dollars. I slept on the floor for 3 nights. No furniture, no nothing. And then, you know, somehow ended up here now. So
a true New Yorker.
True New Yorker. Now I'm in the East Village. I'm actually moving soon.
This will be again?
First. Yeah, this is the first time I'll say this. I've not told my roommates, but I'm moving. Oh. I'm moving out. And I'm moving in by myself again. I've lived with roommates for 2 years. I lived by myself the first year, roommate, and then now I'm going to move in.
I thought you were going to say you were moving in with a girlfriend.
Well, no.
Not yet.
We'll touch on that. Too soon.
Wait, aren't you with Josh? I'm going to like text Josh right now and be like, Sasha's moving out.
Don't say anything.
Okay, by the time this episode is up, you'll have told him already, I'm sure.
Probably not. So. I don't think so.
It's okay. He won't hear. If you guys know Josh, don't tell him.
Yeah, please don't DM him or anything. And
my God.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to move into Soho. There's a couple of nice buildings. You know, when fortunately for myself, I have a decent job, which we'll touch on, I guess, in a little bit. But start making a little more money, you can enjoy the nicer things. And
so you're like over the roommate life. You just want to be living alone again?
Yeah. I also kind of want to get a dog. So, and it's not fair to a dog, I think, if it has different owners / like roommates that aren't responsible for it / it's a good amount of space. So I can't just have it in my room. But yeah, I think that's a whole nother like.
Yeah, I'm sure that's tough in New York.
Yeah, it's hard, especially when you work. So like if I work 8 to 6, it's not really fair for the dog.
I push daycare, the walkers, the whole thing.
And like, I mean, I could run it in the morning when I get off work, but so.
Yeah.
That's the living in New York story.
Yeah. Tell them your Instagram if you want. I guess that's like all you really, your social chat. Well, yeah. We can have it in the description too.
My Venmo is at Sasha.
You just told them you have a nice job in New York. No one is Venmoing you.
Yeah, my Instagram is Sasha, S-A-S-H-A, and then Bussina, B-O-U-S-S-I-N-A.
I feel like you're talking so calm right now. Your voice is, like, soothing. People are, like, listening this as they, like, fall asleep.
ASMR right now. Literally. It's fun fact. Gretchen didn't follow me for, like, 5 years, so she finally started.
What are you talking about?
When you had two Instagrams.
Oh, Instagram. Yeah, I don't even know if people – I mean, I guess a lot of them – would probably know this. I feel like I've talked about it before, but I had my like Instagram that I made pretty much for college. Like I just wanted like a normal college life and I didn't want like new friends to just be like, okay, who is this girl? And like see the whole platform right away, even though everyone knew, I guess, but I don't know. I just had my like college Instagram and then obviously my like YouTube big account. And yeah. I never followed my friends on there because I didn't want, like, I just wanted to keep it separate. Like, I didn't want my followers to, like, go find your Instagram or my friends or, like, you know, so.
Until it wasn't and people started finding out about.
Yeah. And then I just followed all my friends anyway. And so, whatever.
Yeah, those are funny. For people that are listening, I don't know if you guys remember a good Q&A, I guess, is what was the first video I was actually in?
Oh, my gosh. It was definitely a Vlogmas video. It was your smoke trick video. Was that the first one?
Smoke trick video at the end. Vlogmas episode 7, 2015.
Wait, do you actually remember? It was Vlogmas episode 7? Yeah.
I generally think my brain is like
so
that.
Like impressed. I remember
random stuff.
I'm so impressed. No, that was just like the highlight of your life. You'll never forget.
Oh yeah, I woke up and I had like messages from all you guys. Like a couple girls asking me out. I felt kind of cool.
Oh my god. Oh my god. That feels like so long ago, but also yesterday. Like I remember it so well with Taylor. Yeah, yeah. Rich Hall, baby. If any of you are at BU and Rich Hall, the memories. Yeah,
Taylor doing the nene.
In her pajamas.
In her pajamas.
God, oh my god. Good time. Okay, so let's tell them how we met, background at BU, first impressions. I'm going first. So my side of the story is I met you the day before your birthday, or was it a couple days before? Or was it on your birthday?
No, I met you in the street the day before my birthday.
I remember meeting you in the bot. We remember two different things. I remember meeting you in the lobby of Rich and we like hung out and became friends.
You were walking with Taylor and me and Ricky were sitting outside of Warren Hall.
Yeah, I don't even remember that.
That was the same day. And then that night I was in the bottom of Rich and came and sat down with me.
Mm-hmm.
No, you were on the phone and I was on the phone and you came and sat down.
Yeah, I don't even know. We were just like chatting, became friends, studying, whatever. Yeah,
first one to wish me happy birthday.
I was the first one to wish you happy birthday. And now I'm the last one every year.
She wished me happy birthday 5 days past my birthday.
No, this is what happens. It's Sasha's birthday. And I like look at the calendar. It's October 15th, right? Is that right? Yeah. Okay, see, are you proud of me that I remember that? Because I'll look at the date and I'll be like, gosh, like October 15th, like I know that means something. I'm like, I don't know. And then it'll be like midnight and Sasha will text me. He'll be like, no, it'll be like 12:01. He'll be like, thanks for wishing me a happy birthday, too late now. He's like all salty.
Most of the time it's like 5 days later.
He's like, okay, you forgot. I'm like, oh, I knew October 15th was something. I'm like, oh, hope you had a great day.
Well, yeah, continue. So what was your first, so you came in.
Okay, so I just remember our first memory was like studying, hanging out, chit-chatting, like getting to know each other and the bottom of Rich and like meeting other friends or obviously our mutual connection here. Like if you guys didn't know, which you wouldn't know. Went to high school with David, Taylor, Lucy, me were like from our high school. And then at BU, David played soccer with Sasha. So that's like how I met a lot of the soccer team, right? Like, I feel like I met you guys were like the first people I met at BU was like the soccer team, like you, Josh, David, everyone.
Yeah.
So that's like probably really how we met, but then we just became friends and Sasha was in our building. You were like on the 9th floor. You were a couple floors. Tenth. A couple floors over me, Lucy, and Taylor, who were all together. So then we were just always around each other and friends. What?
I had a possessed roommate. So I would always hang out with you guys.
Wait, yeah, you had a weird roommate.
You forgot about that.
No, I did not forget. It was weird. And but he left. He disappeared, remember?
Yeah, just disappeared. Then never came back.
Okay, we will be editing out all the names. Yes, okay.
Really nice guy. He just sleptwalked. And when you sleepwalk and laugh at the same time, you look like you're from The Conjuring.
Yeah, so, no.
Yeah. So I would always hang out with Gretchen and Taylor.
Yeah. And Vlogmas, we all got close because we were just doing fun stuff all the time. Content, baby content.
Baby content, name of the game.
Yeah. And we have mutual friends. I feel like we just had a lot of, I don't know.
We got along well. That was
mutual friends, friend group. And Sasha is the type of person, he was friends with literally everyone at BU. So yeah.
I think
everyone knew you.
Yeah. Popular boy. It's opposite of what I was in high school. I was really if anyone knew me in high school, that's listening to this, look at me now.
There's your lesson, everyone. You can reinvent yourself going into college.
Oh, I was weird looking. I didn't have a glow up, I don't think. Still waiting for it. But I didn't have one for a while. It's always a funny story. All my friends pull out back when I was single or whatever, people would be like, oh, so how was Sasha in high school? And then my friends would hit them with the photos. I'm like,
I remember the young photos of you.
Yeah, yeah.
You did look like a baby giraffe.
Yeah.
Have anything else to add about our time at BU?
No, that was BU, and then we went to Africa together.
Yeah, that's a whole story. A lot of people would remember you from that when we climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, which is the craziest thing. To this day, Sasha, people ask me, they'll find out. They'll be like, wait, you climb Mount Kilimanjaro? Yeah. What the heck? Tell me about it. I want to do it. And yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I almost forgot. It was so hard.
Yeah, it was arguably probably the hardest thing we've ever done. And
but so rewarding.
So rewarding. And the truth is, right, is you immerse yourself in a different culture. And that was also the big thing. Right? And we raised a lot of money for the B+ Foundation, which is big.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
And, it enlightens us to see the other side of the world. And
The other side of the world.
And then get to the top of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That was nuts. And that was a little fun little story of Gretchen and Noelle finding me in my tent with my eyes rolled back in my head and dying.
Yeah, you said this is a win-win for everyone. I was going to say, yeah, except for Sasha, who got medevaced and was you guys, the porters were running down the mountain with him. It took them probably a couple hours. What?
They put him in a wheelbarrow.
I know.
Wooden plank on it.
I always tell people that story and how you had the worst headache because your head was slamming against the stretcher.
I, if any of you guys have the worst enemies or whatever, you would want them not even to have that. I was tied down by 7 belts and it was on a wooden plank. So picture a wheelbarrow that your dad might have, or an old wheelbarrow, in a garage. And it was one wheeled. And we're running downstairs because the stairs is the fastest way. So you're going clunk, 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 clunk each step. And I was hitting my head every time going down. And we got a concussion. I threw up. And then it was 6 hours of it. It wasn't short. And so once you got down into the rainforest, it started raining. So if you guys ever heard about waterboarding, it was full on rain as I'm being strapped down on my back, drowning. For another 2 hours. So yeah, it was bad. It was not a fun time, but yeah.
As if the low oxygen. So the whole reason he was medevaced is because I think my understanding of it was you just had so little oxygen in your blood. And so you weren't conscious. I remember coming in because what had happened is we had just summited and you're basically running back down to base camp so that you can have a little lunch and you just have to get down as quick as you can because you feel a lot better. Everyone has a pounding headache. Everyone's so disoriented because everyone is has altitude sickness. And we were resting in our tents for 5 minutes before lunch and everyone's okay, lunchtime. And everyone's where's Sasha? What'd you say?
I thought you guys were at lunch already. And they're where's
Sasha?
Yeah.
I'm this mother effer, we're all tired, I'm over it. And so I rip open your tent. I'm wake up, we're eating lunch, we have to keep going. And I'm why is he blue and not moving?
they dunked my head in water. They like did a bunch of shit from what
I heard. So that was Kilimanjaro, a whole thing. You guys didn't know, it's in Tanzania. It took us forever to get there with screaming babies on the plane. Remember, it was insanity.
I send you those memories every year.
Yeah.
That's on the plane.
Never forget.
10 hours, two 10-hour flights.
Yeah. I always tell people I would not climb Mount Kilimanjaro again. I wouldn't do it again, but I would recommend that everyone does it because it was literally the most physically challenging and mentally challenging thing that I've done in my life, but so rewarding.
Second for me now.
Second?
I did run a marathon without practicing.
About that too. Interrupting super quick to tell you guys about Equinox Plus and the SoulCycle at Home bike. Again, still a pinch me moment, literally, that my most favorite company even considers sponsoring my podcast. But if you are anything like me, you've definitely been missing your workout routine in the past year or so. Maybe your favorite in-person fitness classes and instructors. Well, for me, it's SoulCycle. I know, shocker, you guys are so surprised hearing me say that. But that is just what my heart has been missing so bad. You guys know I've been taking SoulCycle classes regularly for 5 years now. Wow, that's a long time. It's been so long. And there is just something magical about that room with the energy of everyone in the class, the instructor, literally the best music that makes it the best workout. But more than that, just so much fun. I could go on and on. I'm sure y'all already know I'm their number one fan. When I'm in a SoulCycle class, I barely feel like I'm working out. I'm just having a good time. And there are other at-home alternatives, but they are just not the same. So I was looking for an experience that makes me feel like I'm back in the studio, moving with my favorite instructors to the best playlist. And that's what led me to the SoulCycle at Home bike. You guys know I got mine last summer and I have been obsessed ever since. It literally converts your home into a little mini SoulCycle studio. So the bike has a 21-inch touchscreen that has a revolutionary sound system that was specifically engineered for this bike. How sick. In SoulCycle's iconic playlist, of course, with unlimited access to live and on-demand SoulCycle classes, you can clip in with your favorite instructors and be transported to your favorite bike in the studio on your own schedule. As I'm recording this, I actually just took a 60-minute class, you guys, with one of my favorite instructors, Connor. Whew, so challenging always, but it's literally the best feeling once you've completed one of his classes. And your monthly membership also gives you unlimited access to the Equinox Plus app, where you can stream classes from other amazing brands like Equinox, Rumble, TB12, and Pure Yoga. I know you can get your SoulCycle at Home bike in just 1 to 3 weeks, and they have financing options available to make attaining your goals achievable. I know you guys are going to be as obsessed with your SoulCycle at Home bike if you've been considering it. It's just so special to be able to take SoulCycle classes right now with everything going on in the world, safely at home and on your own schedule. So get your SoulCycle at Home bike today by visiting mysoulcyclebike.com/happyhour and use promo code happyhour to get a free pair of at home select cycling shoes with your purchase. That's mysoulcyclebike.com/happyhour, promo code happyhour, just all caps, one word, to get a free pair of cycling shoes with a purchase of your SoulCycle at Home bike. Again, mysoulcyclebike.com/happyhour. Don't forget to use promo code happy hour. And now let's get back into the episode. Okay, that sounds kind of worse, honestly.
Yeah, I did as a joke, my friends bet me that I couldn't run New York City Marathon without training. Not without training, they just said run it at all. And I was kind of stubborn, so I didn't even train. And It was maybe before Halloween, it was a couple days after Halloween. So, like, obviously, I went out to a club on Halloween. And I went out, that was on Thursday, then on Friday I went out, and then Saturday I had sushi dinner with my mom and my girlfriend, and then Sunday I woke up at 4 a.m. and ran the New York Marathon, and I was doing a good time. I was averaging like 8 minutes, 8:30 for like the first nine, 10 miles, like nothing crazy, and then 10, 11, 12, I was like at like 7:30, and I was going a little too fast, and then 13 and a half, about 14 miles in.
You would die.
Stress fracture in my foot.
Oh.
My foot actually had like a little like.
Wait, I did know this. I feel like you told me this.
And it took me 14-minute miles next for like the next like 8 miles. And then my last like, I was like, I'm going to push through it. Worst pain I've ever been in. Like I called my mentor who's in a wheelchair, and he like called me and he was like, I left him this long voice note, and he called me later and he was like, the fact that you called me, he goes, you would have been such a wuss if I can't walk and you can't continue to run this marathon. And so I ended up, like finishing, and my last 2 miles were actually the fastest times, which was cool.
Oh, you had a little burst of energy. Couldn't walk. Oh, I bet. Taylor said at mile 13, I think, was the hardest, because you're like, oh, it's a half marathon, but there's like, I have to do that again.
Oh, yeah. And they talk about like the half marathon part, you're still in Brooklyn. So like, you run from the Staten Island Bridge, Verrazano Bridge, and you've gone through all Brooklyn. You've not even been in Manhattan. And then like mile 15, you get over this bridge, and it's quiet. It's dead quiet. And you come around this turn and there's thousands of people cheering for you. And they're like, if you don't get runner's high at that moment, running is not your sport.
Nothing will save you.
I did not get runner's high. I came around that corner. I hate this. I hate this. And you're on 59th Street. You come out on 59th Street and you have to get to 144th Street. And then you got to go back down to 57th Street. So in your mind, you're like, I've got to do 180 blocks right now. Like, it's just mentally like.
Yeah, running isn't for you.
No, not at all.
But I also, it's not like you had never worked out a day in your life. Like, you were a Division I soccer player. Like, you were better equipped than probably most people.
Yeah, but it's like impact. It's like on your feet and stuff. But again, yeah, those are some good stories.
Tell us something that you're happy about this week.
This week slash a little bit last week, we launched our tequila in Massachusetts and Boston and Rhode Island. That was a big step. I mean, that takes a lot of work and stuff. And I took Nikki's dog with Nikki on a 10-mile walk across the world. I think he deserved it. So
where'd you guys go in New York?
We went from my apartment to the East River, went all the way back through Soho, through Chelsea, to the piers on the west side, back through Soho, back to Chelsea, stopped, got an ice cream for the dog, and came back home.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, so those are some good things.
Wait, what type of dog does Nikki have?
Australian Shepherd.
Okay.
That so cute.
The white one, right?
That's the white one, yeah.
Is it all white?
No, he's white with like markings.
What's his name?
Banksy. B-A-N-K-S-Y. He loves me. Yesterday I was leaving and in her apartment and he slipped his collar. He wouldn't leave. Like, I was trying to get an Uber and she was inside her lobby. She lives in a nice building in Brooklyn and he slipped his harness and sprinted to the door, broke through the door and came and jumped in my arms. So cute. So cute.
You're like, hey, you're coming home with me. And Nikki is Sasha's girlfriend, in case you guys didn't know. And I'm sure we'll talk about her. But do you have a happy quote or a favorite quote idea, something that you live by?
Yeah, I think this is big. Two parts of this, right? One is I'm a big believer of, like, you know, not giving up. So, like, you know, you break down every door you can. And that leads to some of the things I'll tell you later in this podcast that we'll talk on. But the biggest thing is also staying humble while doing it and knowing, like, who's been your friends and been your roots. So the story that I love to live by, and I'm actually getting a tattoo of it eventually. I don't know how to do it, but I might get a tattoo of it. Is there is one I'm actually getting maybe tomorrow. And that one is, which plays into this, it's the word Sonder. You know what that means?
No.
Sonder is beautiful. It's like the recognition that each person's living a life. Like, so each person's living their own individualistic life and they're not just like characters in a world. So once you kind of understand Sonder, you kind of, I think in my eyes, be a more at peace person and more understanding of people, more empathetic, more sympathetic. But the story I'll tell you is, it's a mythological story of Icarus. The story of Icarus is he gets stuck on an island with his dad as punishment. And his dad is a master craftsman. And he basically makes these wings, right? And the wings are made of tar and feathers. And he says to him, he says, you know, and it's a famous story. He says, don't fly too close to the sun or else you'll, you know, melt the feathers and you'll fall and die. And the dad flew low and flew near the water as they're trying to fly back to the land. And the sun, overwhelmed with happiness and joy, flew around like, dad, look what I can do, flying. And he flew and he got so high. Basically, like, he fell. He got too high. And the story that I take from it, right, is that, hey, look, like, no matter how good life is going, no matter how good things are going in your life, like, stay humble and stay low. So stay down to the ground and stay, like, you don't need to be the flashiest. You don't need to be the person that's, like, you know, up there showboating in front of your friends or anything like that. Because if you do have that influence, your friends will know. And if you are that person, your friends will know. And You be your own person, but you always stay humble. And that's my happy quote of today.
That's so true. Like, if you are someone that's very successful and influential and is a great person with great friends, and like everyone knows, you don't need to go screaming it from the rooftops. So is that where that phrase comes? Like, don't fly too close to the sun?
Yeah, it's from that story. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Like, tell us what's new, what you've been up to. How about, this is a great time you can tell us about Yave, since you kind of mentioned it. I saw that they're in Boston, Massachusetts. So tell us, if you guys didn't know, Sasha is a part of, I don't even know your like position role within Yave, but he has a tequila business.
Yep.
So yeah, tell us all about that.
So I'm blessed to have been a part of a guy's vision. This one guy, he's older gentleman, but young at heart. And he started this vision about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. And slowly these pieces have been brought together. And there's about 5 or 6 of us now that are part of this team that, you know, it's basically like our side hustle about it from some of us, but for him, it's his baby. And so it's the world's first, we pride ourselves on the world's first mango tequila, as well as we have a jalapeno in our Blanco. And we have a couple other lines coming out soon, but we don't add any sugar. We don't add any, there's no added sugar. There's no added vanilla, like your Casamigos, Don Julio. So you can't really get hung over on it either, unless you're drinking it, you know, and you're not really hydrated, but it's super, super smooth. You know, I stand by anything that I'm a part of. So like, and it was proven, we won gold medals across the country about our tequila. We're in about 2,000 to 3,000 stores now, and you can find us online as well on our website. Throw the page a follow if you guys want. We're always trying to boost our stuff. But
so I can order on your website, like if people want to order tequila.
If anyone wants to order tequila, again, you have to be 21 or older. I'm not promoting to people who are under 21. Mm-hmm. If you're under 21, you're more than welcome to buy a sweatshirt to support. We just launched, I designed it. Our motto sticks with kind of like how, you know, even Gretchen and I look at life. It says it's unlock possibility. So it means that like you can unlock any part of it. If you're, you know, from New York City or you're from Oklahoma or from Texas, like however you look at unlocking possibility, and unlock possibility is our motto, because Yave means the key in Spanish. So our bottle has a key on it. And I mean, we're not on video, we're on podcast, so I can't show, but
I love the sweatshirt, by the way. I saw on your Instagram.
Yeah, the sweatshirt's great, and you'll see yours truly modeling it. And and there's a couple bundles that we just did, so you save a little money too. You know, if you reach out to me, maybe I can try to get you a little coupon code too.
Yeah, DM Sasha, be like, please send over the mango tequila immediately. Also a sweatshirt.
And actually just like, you know, let me live in your apartment in New York too. Like, give me your apartment. And
by the way, I'm moving in.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what's going on. And we launched in Rhode Island, Massachusetts. We're in Connecticut, New Jersey, New York. We're in Florida, Colorado. And those are the places we're in stores. And then we ship to 30 states in the country. So
I was going to tell you, I didn't even tell you, Sasha, I looked on my Drizzly app the other day because I wanted to see like if it was here, like if they could deliver it to me, but I don't think but I'm in Pennsylvania. So that wasn't.
Yeah, we unfortunately can't get it to Pennsylvania right now. I don't think many places in Pennsylvania. We're launching soon though, in the next couple months. Okay. But yeah, if you're in New York, we're in Drizzly, we're in you know, all the apps, but
I'll drive to New Jersey. It's very close.
Yeah, it's very close. Yeah. If you like tequila too. And the mango, by the way, guys, this is the big part about it is none of our tequilas have a burn. So if you've ever had that experience of having a bad tequila, yeah, exactly. You.
You more than I'm anyone. Pointing at myself.
is everyone always pictures the burn and they never get it. So there's been so many countless times when, especially, you know, it's mostly found in girls. That girls are like, I don't do tequila after I had that one blackout. Yeah, exactly. One blackout night or one night where I threw up. And I say, hey, look, just try our mango. Try it. If you don't like tequila, drink the mango. If you like tequila, the Blanco or the jalapeno. But the mango will change your life. My roommate hates tequila. He'll only drink it. He'll only drink that tequila now. It's just like there's no burn. You wait for it. You think there's going to be a bad taste in your tummy, nothing, no bad taste.
This is convincing me now.
Oh, I'm good convincing.
The mango. Okay, so you are basically Like, would you say you're like a co-owner, or like, how would you say it's like your side hustle?
I have equity in the company, mm-hmm. but I'm more of like the I'm the youngest guy involved. So I just turned 24. Everyone's 30 plus. And so like, they look at me as like the person that does like a lot of like the like pushing on people and like business development. I built the website. So
the young, like marketing.
Yeah, exactly. So give the products a couple of reviews, you know, help everything out. But yeah, anything that like falls through the cracks, I pick up. If there's like big restaurants or big things, they'll either send me or another guy and we'll talk to them. Like, as you know, a decent talker.
Oh yeah.
I can sell water to a fish. So we just gotta.
Sasha could guys, this episode is going to be 8 hours long. That's what I was telling him before we recorded. I'm like, we could both talk all day long, like Sasha more than me even, which I know is probably hard to believe, but this is so exciting, Sasha. Cause now as people see Yave like in the stores and people like posting about it or like in their Instagram story or whatever, people will be like, oh my God, that's Sasha's brand, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's good.
But so that's what Sasha's been up to. Interrupting super quick to tell you guys about HelloFresh. You already know how much Max and I love our HelloFresh. We always say we would eat it every day if we could. If you guys didn't know, with HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and delicious seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. HelloFresh lets you skip the trips to the grocery store and the stressful meal prepping and planning so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. And I love how HelloFresh offers the flexibility you need with customizable orders every week. You can easily change your delivery days or food preferences and skip a week whenever you need. I've done this so many times, you guys, if our schedule changes. And since Max and I will usually cook our HelloFresh meals together, it's so fun as a couple. It's easy, affordable, and that's exactly why it's America's number one meal kit. I could not recommend HelloFresh enough. I know you guys already know that if you watch my vlogs on YouTube, but you should go to HelloFresh.com/happyhour12 and use code happyhour12 to get 12 free meals, including free shipping. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/happyhour12 and use code happyhour12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. It's all lowercase, happy hour 12, like the number. Their food and recipes are incredible, you guys. Now I'm craving my favorite buffalo chicken meal. But without further ado, let's get back into the episode.
I know they like the juicy stuff, though. So you want to move on to the juicy stuff?
What juicy stuff? Do you want to tell us about your girlfriend?
Yeah, should we tell a couple fun date? What's it like to date in New York City?
Yeah, because I definitely want to touch on dating in New York, because I know it's so different. I'm sure it's so different than Boston or like anywhere else. Like, it's New York
City. Yeah. Yeah. So where do you want me to start? How do you want me to start this?
I guess when you first moved here, when you first moved to New York City, like, how is it different from Boston, San Francisco, people, dating culture, everything like that?
Yeah. So I think, you know, I moved here by myself. I actually had no friends. I didn't know anyone. So like, I was tempted to like do the dating apps and tempted to do all that stuff. But again, I talk a lot. So because I talk a lot, I can meet people randomly. There's no knock to dating apps. I think they serve a purpose for people. I think, you know, and I had just gone out of a relationship with my ex, moving to New York, and it was a very fun time. And so ended up being in New York, and the thing about New York is a very fast pace, extremely fast pace. So like, you could be going on a date at 7 p.m. on a Thursday, and then, or on a Tuesday, and then Wednesday you might have a coffee. If you're not working, you might have a coffee date with someone else, or that person that you went on a date with the Tuesday might have three more dates lined up during the week. And it's not about people being like more promiscuous or people being more like flaunting about sexuality. It's more or less that New York is a place to meet a ton of people. So dating, I think, in New York is different in the sense that it almost is like networking too. Like, there's been so many girls that I've been on dates with that, you know, I knew it, once he sat down, it wasn't ever going to be great. No knock to them, but it just wasn't going to be, and I still have them as connections. Nothing ever happened between us. We were friends, and like, there's no harm, no foul. In every other city I've been in, San Francisco, Boston, like, it gets very weird like that. Like, it gets very weird because like Boston, it was mostly like college, right? And then you have to see them at college. There's not really a professional aspect of it, but like, I've been on dates with, in New York, graphic designers, musicians, you know, and so if there's ever a need, clothing experts, like, you could be like, hey, look, I just, can you give me some guidance on this? And as long as you're not I can say this, I think, a douchebag and a bad person, like that's just kind of like stuck in that college mentality, then it all works out. But Yeah, I think
it's kind of like, okay, so the romance isn't working out, but let's keep in touch in case this ever.
True.
We need to help each other.
Yeah, and it actually is very like, it's a lot. It's very good. You know, it's like a good, really, really, really funny story. And you know, if you know my friends, you know which one of my roommates did this. But my roommate matched with a girl on Hinge, and it wasn't ever going to really work out. But he ended up using her rooftop to throw a party for me for my birthday. This is before the pandemic, but yeah. So, you know, dating in New York is very, it's very fast paced. So like I guess my advice with it is always being open. It's one of the places that you'll learn a lot about yourself. And I think mm-hmm. go as many dates as you can. Right. And I think the biggest thing I learned, and it's so funny because it was maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, I just got the Snapchat memory. Like I went on a date with a girl who I met at a coffee shop. And it was, I literally, you know, they're drinking coffee. I was like, wow, this girl's very pretty. You know, she's cool. So I was like, hey, like, you know, I'm not gonna be weird and creepy, but if I don't ask, you never know. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, look, like, we were talking about some other alcohol company, me and my friend. And I was like, look, let's just ask her, brought her into the conversation. And then her and I ended up grabbing, you know, going on a couple of dates, and it never ended up working out after that. You know, mm-hmm. she moved away, moved back to, you know, a place that she's from. And, mm-hmm. You know, that's what ends up happening. But yeah, I think my biggest advice is don't get stuck in the monotony of dating apps and like thinking that it's just like a hookup culture. I don't think, mm-hmm. I think you find whatever you want to find. So if you're open to relationships, which I personally have always been, I think you should always be, like, because you shouldn't close a door just because you want to have your fun and your time. I think if you're not ready for one, then you're not ready for one. And that's very fair to say to someone. I think I was helping a friend recently through a situationship, as we will call them. The girl was like, hey, like, I like you. And he said, yeah, I do too. But like, we've talked about, we're just friends. And he basically said, like, she was like, well, it's either me or nothing. And he, like, it kind of hurt his feelings because he like really liked this girl, but not enough to like date her. And he always told her that. And he was an adult about it, and he just said, hey, look, like, I'm actually not, like, you know,
I like you a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God. Not enough. I would be like, peace out, goodbye. I deserve better. I'm a queen.
Yeah. But that's the point, right? And the thing about New York is no one ever gets really offended by it because everyone's.
Would you say it's really casual, like the dating scene?
It is and it isn't, right? Like it is and it isn't. It's whatever you want it to be. Right. Like, and that's the thing, especially I think as like a girl in New York City, dating is, I think, an absolutely incredible experience. Because I think if you're a girl in New York City, guys treat you generally like pretty well. From what I understand, I know there's like the finance douchebag, like mantras that people say, and they
like
they
you. Try to, no, kidding.
Always treat women with respect. I've always been good at my dates. Ask any girl if you find them that has ever gone on a date with me.
Yeah, you're a good boy.
Yeah, but no, like you have the finance guys that think they're the shit and think that they're like in hot shots, but at least you'll go to a really nice restaurant, or at least you'll go to a place. True. Like,
at least they're bringing me to Nobu.
Yeah,
no exactly. Complaints.
Right, and that's actually a way to explore the city, right? And I don't mean take advantage of guys. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that be open to whoever you want to meet, whether it's casual as friends or whether it's casual as dating. Like, I think the biggest lesson I've learned in New York, and this is dating and in life, is that saying no restricts and limits, right? And so a great example is, and do it within your means, but like a Tuesday night, I got invited to go to a birthday party of a friend as a filler of a seat because they knew I was just like, you know, a good time to have at a place. And I ended up going and meeting some of my greatest friends in New York now. Like, and if I never went on that Tuesday,
you wouldn't, you know, have those friends. What? Yeah.
And I haven't, and that's kind of when I get into the Nikki thing. It's kind of similar, like how I met Nikki. But like, I think especially with dating, these are the times that, like, you know, saying no or being like thinking that it makes you look in any type of way in a negative light. I think that's the stigma that needs to like get turned off. Like, I think if you're a girl in New York and you're dating, you're going to have, it's extremely fun and amazing. I think if you're a guy in New York and you're dating, it's extremely fun and amazing because you meet dope people. It's forcing you to go do fun things. New York, you fall behind if you're just doing dinners. Hey, we're just going to go to dinner. Okay, sick. And what? Like, you're not making anything special or fun. But hey, I'm going to the Whitney Museum. I'm going to the MoMA. I'm going to Public Hotel Rooftop. I'm going to, you know, RH Rooftop. I'm going to, we're going to go do a paint and sip and then go to dinner at Pastis and go do that. Like, you are forced to make and have fun. And like, that is beautiful to me. That's absolutely beautiful, right? Like, it's just the romance of the numbing of our society, of a hookup culture of, let me just swipe right and let me just go over to their house and Netflix and chill. I think in New York, it's a bubble in that sense. Like, you don't really have that as much. Not saying it's not there, but like, if you actually are trying to be, from a guy's perspective, a guy that makes girls have fun and have a good time, you're going to do and put effort into dates and try to make it amazing. This could also just be me and I could just be completely off on this.
But all the girls listening are like, hey, those are not the guys that I'm running into.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's interesting to hear about the dating situation. You're, I'm sure it's so fast paced like that. It's like, okay, I got a date at 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. So got to make this snappy, you know, whereas like other places, it's a lot more like, it's just not as many people.
And this, the thing also is like, we talk about, it's a great time. We talk about the movement of, you know, women's rights and women's power and empowering women in today's society. And like, you know, flipping the script of, hey, you know, it's a man's culture and this toxic masculinity. Right. So you flip it and you say, I've met girls that have been like, hey, I'm going on a date, like you said, at 7. And if it's good, I won't go on my date at 8 or 9. Like, women hold the power now. So if women are holding the power and the dating power and all this stuff, like, it's kind of balancing that again, which is what we all strive for, right? And that's just kind of interesting to see.
Okay, so tell us how you met Nikki. Well, you knew her from BU, or no?
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, kind of. So like, again, I guess dating in New York is very interesting because what it lends you to get to is funny. So like, my last girlfriend before Nikki was a girl who I actually went to high school with, but I didn't know her in high school. And it's very similar story arcs with Nikki, because Nikki went to BU, right? But she's international, she's Brazilian, speaks 5 languages, beautiful, speaks English, Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, and French. Makes me look like a scumbag because I can't speak 2 languages, barely. I try to speak to her in Spanish. I'm taking Rosetta Stone now so I can try to work on it, put effort into this relationship. But yeah, so she went to BU and she was part of like the international crew of BU. And if anyone knows like colleges, I know most people who's listening have been to college. There's very cliquey people, sports, athletes, artists, drama. So she was part of the international crew. And what happened was like, she dated a kid on our team at one point for like 8 months. So like, that's how she came into the radar a little bit. I actually DM'd her when my first high school girlfriend and I broke up when I was transferring to BU. I DM'd her and I was like, hey, like maybe you can show me around BU. DM'd her on Facebook. Instagram DMs weren't a thing. And she said, sounds good. And I never
followed. How did you find her?
She liked my thing in a post of like a BU class of 28 page. And
this is before she was dating your teammate.
Yeah, this is before anything. And so then being in New York, there's not many people in New York that you know. And so like, I knew she was in Brooklyn and she was dating a guy for 2 years about, and she had a beautiful dog. And like, she would always post like, hey, anyone watching my dog, anyone can watch my dog. And I would always offer, A, I love dogs. B, I also don't meddle with people's relationships. I just was genuinely being like trying to be a nice guy. And like, I'd love to have a dog for a little bit. And then I took care of her dog a day, 2 days, and then gave him back. I would invite her and her boyfriend always to our parties. When we had parties, I'd be like, hey, why don't you guys come? And they ended up breaking up.
And you swooped in. You're like, my time to shine, baby.
again, if, you know, if you don't ever make a move, you'll never know, right? And so I gave a respectable window, you know, mostly as friends in the beginning. And then, like, you know, but, like, I knew I liked her from day one. It's one of those moments where you're like.
You knew before you even came to be with the show me around Boston is, I think you're cute. I want to get to know you. This is my excuse. Show me.
And I was too much of a wuss and I never followed up. So mind you, I look like a baby giraffe. And
yes,
I wish I could show you the photo of me in freshman year of high school. But and so anyway, we started like hanging out. I was hanging out with her dog. Her dog started getting attached to me. So, you know, key to a woman's heart is their dog. Once you kind of get in
there. Get close to the dog. People take notes.
I helped her move. She just moved into a new place. I helped build furniture. I was just kind of like not doing the most, but like I genuinely was happy to be there and just even to be in her presence. Cause like for me, like I felt way for this girl and I was like, I don't care if she feels the same way, but like at least eventually, right? Like you don't care for a while until it's too much, but like, mm-hmm. I just want to be friends with her, to be honest with you, at the bare minimum. And anything beyond that was bonus. And I still look at her every day and it's like sometimes I'll wake up and I'll just be like, damn, like, this is cool. Like, this is awesome. Like, but,
wait, this yeah. is so cute. You're so happy.
Yeah. This is the happy hour podcast. On the happy hour.
If any, okay. I'm really sorry for anyone single out there, but if you're in a relationship, you so relate to that. Like if they're sleeping and you're just like, wow, like life is good.
Nikki's great. You know, truthfully, I think, it's lucky to find someone that pushes you. I think I wasn't looking for a relationship. I don't really search for relationships. I'm very, I believe that you should be on your own a lot. But when one comes, and this is her conversation with her and I, is like, I was like, hey, it's a little bit after your last relationship. Like, it's pretty close timing. Like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you ready? And she was like, look, I believe in the same thing as you. Like, you know, everything that's meant to be is meant to be. And everything that will happen. And I'm a big believer, as my other quote, everything in life has led us to this moment. Every decision we've made has led us to this moment of us speaking on your podcast together. That goes with women, relationships, men. And so like, that's kind of like what, like we jumped into this relationship.
I think that's such a good thing for people to hear too. I love your mindset about dating. Like you're like, I'm good on my own. I'm never like searching for a relationship, but you said earlier, I'm always open to it. And I think that's such a good way to look at yeah. it. And it'll happen naturally like it did with you and Nikki. And it just works out the way it's supposed to. I feel like a lot of the times.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing is like, you're never gonna, if you go searching for Mrs. Perfect or Mr. Perfect, you'll never find them. Can't go yeah. searching. You got to be perfect within yourself. And then it'll all trickle down and come together. Like, I think Nikki's perfect. I don't see one fault in her, mm-hmm. but like, that's the dating aspect. That's the juicy.
Tell us about, okay, now tell us about your job. Tell us about, I really want to know about the transition from Boston to New York. You kind of talked about it. I remember talking with you a lot right as you moved, and my other friends that moved to New York, like very similar story to them where everyone relates and it being so like you're in the biggest city with so many people and so much going on. Yet because of that, a lot of times you feel really lonely and you feel like everyone else already has friends. And, you know, it's kind of like college. Like you're like, everyone else already knows each other and has friends. And I just moved here and I'm all on my own and lonely. And so I think a lot of people feel that and sort of talk about, yeah, the transition from college just to working in New York.
When I moved to New York, I actually had no friends, knew nobody. I had one friend that would come in on a Saturday. And that was my touch of socialness, especially as someone who's hyper social like I am. Like, it was very tough. I would mm-hmm. go to work. I would wake up, go to work, come home, go to the gym, cook food, go to sleep. Like, what kind of life was that? And like, mm-hmm. I wasn't finding happiness. I wasn't finding any of this. And just by chance, I ended up finding an amazing group of friends, but it's because you put yourself out in as many situations as you can. Moving from college to work, I think, again, as a student athlete, was a lot easier because I was used to, like, you know, pushing through adversity and pushing through on timing of when you're tired and stuff. But like, you're on your own. You're not, your parents aren't holding your hands. No one's coming with you. Like, this is like you and you alone. And so like, mm-hmm. you're responsible for getting to work on time. You're responsible for looking sharp at work. You're responsible for getting your stuff done. You're responsible for any consequences that come from it. Right. And I think that's the biggest thing that coming out of college, people don't really understand. Like, yeah, you're on your own at college, but you miss a class. So what?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, you miss a day of work, you could be fired.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and so I think the biggest transition was understanding, like, I mean, I come from a family that's, you know, we're all in California, but like when I moved to New York, like they're like, yo, like, not saying you're on your own, but you're on your own. Like, I paid for everything on my own. And so like,
you know? And it's also, I think the most important part is once you do find your friend group and find the people, understanding your finances is the biggest thing. You know, that's a big thing, is that like people don't understand that money is not a, unless it is for you and good for you, but it's not an infinite source. Right. So like
in New York, it disappears. When you live in New York, I always say it disappears through osmosis and diffusion. It just into thin air. Like literally you look at your bank account and it's just gone and you don't even know where it went. That's what happens when you live in New York.
Yeah, especially like, so I guess I'll get to the job stuff. Like, so I work at a hedge fund. I was the youngest hire at our hedge fund. I'm pretty sure I was 21. And I got lucky, and it was just I guess that goes back to what I was saying, is like, don't ever give up. So like I was interviewing, I got no interviews when I was applying for jobs. And a girl that's a really close friend of mine as well, one of my best friends, Noelle, her dad is works at this hedge fund. And he was like, hey, look, like, you're a nice kid. You helped my daughter in Africa. Like, I know you guys are close. Like, can you, like, I'll get you the interviews and then the rest is up to you. So I interviewed at like JP Morgan, Goldman, all these places. And I didn't have internship experience. I had two startups in college. And so I got no interviews. And then at the end of it, I used to leave Boston on like a Monday at 5 a.m., 4 a.m., get into New York in a suit, be in New York from 9 till 6, 7, take a bus back and go back to Boston in the same day. And like, or I'd go to practice.
For interviews.
Yeah. It was like, and that's the thing, that you just have to, like, you can't give up. If there's a door worth knocking, you knock. And like my boss now told me, you're never going to work for our company. Like it's high level finance, that you won't get it. I still don't really get most of it. I mean, I'm still figuring it out.
Just making it up as you go. So he said that like your first interview or something, like the first.
Well,
time
he was like, you can come and meet the team, but it means nothing. And I was like, I will go wait. I waited in the lobby for 4 hours to meet the team, right? And every week after that, for 6 weeks, I would come every fucking week and go and meet with the team. And eventually, like luck beknownst, like just luck happened, an investment happened, something else happened, someone left, and they needed like a low level analyst to come in. And I remember I was at Noelle's dance recital, performance. And I was like talking to him, and I was working a terrible internship. I was working a god awful internship at that time. And because I thought that's what I needed. And I told my boss, I was like, hey, Mike, so what do you think about me working for you? I had to ask him. And he said, well, when can you start? And I said, a week after I graduate. And I moved to New York.
That's such a good lesson for people to hear. Just keep showing up. You just kept showing up, even the 4 hours in the lobby, whatever. And you are so obviously, like, I'm sure you guys can tell already, Sasha's really, well, obviously you can talk a lot, but you're just really good at speaking to people and like interacting with people. Like you are the best person for networking. And so I feel like everyone knows that, but for getting a job like post-college, I just feel like it's always who you know. And my friends right now, especially with COVID, I mean, I feel like it's even harder. Like all the interviews are virtual and like who's hiring and is it all remote and X, Y, and Z. And like all my friends that are getting jobs right now, it's through their dad's business partner or it's through their old skiing buddies, fathers. Do you know what I mean? It's always who you know, it's always networking. And that's something that's so admirable in you, because you are so good at like taking opportunities from situations, networking. Clearly that's how you got your job. And I think I sent you this over in my notes, how I wanted you to talk about advice for getting what you want and like where you want to be in life, not being afraid for asking for things that you want, because you're so good at that. And I just feel like, so maybe it's like a girl thing, like I get afraid to ask for what I want, or I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah, I think, and I want to preface this by saying, like, look, like if you're listening to this, like obviously, you know, as a person that, you know, you guys mean a lot to Gretchen as well. Like if you ever want to reach out and ask me questions on stuff, you can just shoot me a DM and I'll answer every single DM. I don't get many DMs. So it's not like it's going to get lost or anything, but, in any way I can help out, and I'll try to, you know, carve out some time to talk to, you know, help you walk through the jaws of life, and the murky waters. But, I think the biggest thing coming from, you know, asking for what you want and kind of being like persuasive about stuff is, and this is what people fail to realize, and you see it all the time with people that think that they're good at it, And I'm not self-proclaimed good at it. I appreciate it. Like, gee, you know, you tell me I am.
No, you're
like,
great at it.
Be genuine. That's the biggest part. I think being genuine and being engaging and being asking people truly, if you want to get to know someone, you get to know them. You don't go in it with an objective to get a job. I never went in it with an objective to get a job. I sat with my boss at his dining room table talking about the world and talking about all this stuff. And at the end, after thinking I got to know him to a point, I shot the question and said, hey, you know, like, look, I hope this isn't a burden to you. This is actually exactly what I said to him. I said, I hope this isn't overstepping, but I'm a little lost right now, which is truthful. I go, I don't really know what to do. I don't have an extensive family unit that has a bunch of connections, which is all true. And I said, and they're all in California and I don't want to be in California. I want to be in New York right now. So like, I don't know what you connections are, what you have or whatever, but like, is there a way that even if it's one or two people or someone I can talk to, mm-hmm. I don't ask for, hey, can you give me a job? Mm-hmm. Right. It was, hey, let's, even if you just introduce me to one person. And it was very genuine and it ended up leading into good things. Like, I think that's the biggest part. You just need to really, my biggest advice, the only advice I can actually really give you is don't be afraid to ask for anything. Cause like, if you don't ask again, girls, whatever, you're never going to know, guys, girls, whatever. But the truth though about it is always be genuine, because I get emails from kids that I don't like. Look, I'll respond to almost any email, but I won't respond to emails that are ingenuine. Meaning like, you just saw my name and you saw I worked at a good company and you're sending me a templated email.
And you, they barely send, for you to switch your name.
Or they say the she. They say she because I have a girl's name. Like, you don't do your research. Like, spend the time. Like, if you genuinely are going to do something, like, make sure you do it to the best of your ability, because you don't know any time that it might be looked at or talked about or, you know.
Yeah. If you guys are like me and afraid to ask for what you want a lot of times, I think of like the smallest examples, but there are so many times I can think about where I have seen it with my own eyes, with Sasha, with Max. Like, you both are people that are really good at getting what you want, and not in a manipulative way, just in a like, you're confident and genuine. And like Max always says to me, the worst they can say is no. So you might as well ask if it's something that you want. Like, I've been with you at Sweetgreen. You'll be like, hey, do you mind just like throwing on an extra scoop of chicken? I'd really appreciate it. And they're like, yeah, no worries, man. Like, little things like that. Like, I know that's such a little example.
And they don't charge
yeah. you. Like, I've been with you when you've done with that. Or like, I remember being at a drive-thru with Max. We went to McDonald's. We were so excited. And the guy was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, the kitchen just closed. And I'm like, dang it. Like, I'm so sad. My whole night's ruined. I really wanted french fries. And Max was like, hey man, got any extra fries laying around? And he's like, oh yeah, actually I do, like, here you go. And I'm like, okay, why don't I think to be like this? But I'm like always too afraid. And you guys are just so, those are really stupid examples, obviously, but like, your perfect example, like, you, I don't even know if people would know this, but when you were like Noelle in Africa, because she climbed Mount Kilimanjaro with us, but like, just being like, using your network and your friends and family, and not in a manipulative way, just in like a genuine way. And yeah. not overstepping, and like, you never know what could come of it. Obviously with you, it worked out so well.
Yeah, I think, and I think this actually goes to what the tattoo I might be getting tomorrow. It's Sonder. It's the fact is that everyone lives their own life, right? You're no better than anyone else, and everyone else is no better than you. I have a crown tattoo, and the crown tattoo means that you're royalty to your own future. So meaning that you treat everyone as the highest as they can be in the land, but you're also the highest in the land. And what that brings to you, right, is that that guy in the drive-thru is a normal person who is working at a drive-thru, who goes home and does something, like, he has a life.
Has a family, right? And yeah.
Right, or whatever he's doing. So the simple act of kindness, maybe 70% of the time it works, 30% of the time it doesn't, but 100% of the time it's appreciated. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter if you're asking for something egregious where you're like, I want to have, let me be the owner of McDonald's. The guy will probably laugh and be like, you know, whatever. But like, I just am a big believer in that. That goes back to what we were saying about being about Sonder, about that word, is like the act of knowing, like, that these are normal people. Everyone is a person.
Like, it's so what you're saying, like, it's being genuine, but being like human and like recognizing that. I feel like so many times people will just like be angry if you think in like customer service or whatever, and like more like demanding or something. But it's like, if you can just remember that person's a person, like, you're so good at that. Like, you can, Sasha can literally strike up a conversation with anyone and everyone. That's why you're so good at it. I always try to take notes from you and Max being good at that.
Yeah, Nikki gets mad at me sometimes because I talk a lot. She talks a lot though too, so but she gets a little, like, I talk to people in like the supermarkets or whatever, I'll be like, that's a really good snack.
She's like, okay, can we like keep it moving, like, I have stuff to do today.
she said that to me today. She's like, can you not stop and talk to Kristen, like this woman who has a restaurant next door? And I was like, I wasn't going to. But now that you said that, I'm going to now.
I always thought your girlfriend would have to be like so quiet because you're so talkative that you would have fill in. She's just
talkative. Nikki's a gem. She's life of parties, like. Amazing. We bounce a lot off.
Okay, I need to meet her. I don't think I ever met her at BU.
No. Yeah. And she like, she'll like come in and she's a South American Latina, like, humor. So very like roasting, like, loves to roast. So like, we'll come in, we'll be like, oh, why are you playing video games on a Thursday night? Why don't you go out? And like, my roommates are like, damn, bro, like, we just saw you, like, just to mess with them. We're like, you know, like, oh, why are you home? Did your date go bad because you suck? And like, not in a mean way at all, like, literally just in funny. Like a joking banter way. And so she's like super talk, life of the party, and like everyone who's met her has absolutely loved her, and which is great because it's like, the worst is you're dating someone that, like, if your friends don't like, then it's like,
tough. I know, you need them to get along with their friends. So obviously, I think from everything you've said, I can imagine that you enjoy living in New York. Do you see yourself staying for a while, forever? Like, where else would you want to live?
No, I'm going to leave probably in a couple of years.
Okay.
It's like, New York is the best place. I recommend anyone come out of college, move to New York. You'll learn the most about yourself. You'll break down the most. You'll be the most raw version of yourself. I think that,
and you're like, exposed to people from everywhere. Like, so, and we're lucky that we went to BU. Like, we met people from all over the world that went there, like, exposed to so many cultures and languages. And I love that about BU, but obviously it's even more in New York City. So I feel like if you went to a small school where everyone's from your state and it's maybe a state school, whatever it is, I just feel like if you can like get out in the world and live in a city and meet all sorts of people, like you said, your girlfriend's Brazilian, like, it's so important.
And I also think New York is probably arguably the one city, I don't believe that LA is, I think New York is, about connections. So like, my first dinner in New York, I was sitting next to, at the table next to Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, and I'm a California kid. Yeah. And I'm a California kid. And I'm like, whoa, this is sick. Like, this is New York. Like, and like, you know, or I'll be at like a, you know, you'll be at a party or like a brunch or a lunch or whatever. And you'll meet, you know, a famous artist, a famous musician, a famous person, but they're all normal people. Cause no one really in New York, no one gives a shit. Like, no one actually cares, like, who you are, what you do, because everyone's doing something. And so that's the beauty of New York that I think right now, like, I recommend every 21 to 25, 26 year old to live there. When I'm 26, I would probably want to move back to California. I love nature, and I love like the, like, mountain biking. And like, when, so I was home in the pandemic, there's that I grew up on it. So there's that aspect of like, my family has a bar in San Francisco. And so like, I wouldn't be opposed to like running the bar and like just like kind of like changing up lifestyles eventually, but who knows?
So you want to like slow down, settle down, go back to California at some point.
But it's not about even slowing down. It's just about like being like, look, like, once you do the fast pace, it's amazing. But like, what's next? Kind of like, you kind of always got to be true to yourself. And like, if I have a dog, or if I have like, if I want to be exploring or going to do stuff, like, New York's amazing because you're the hub of everything, but you're very concrete jungle. Like, you're very much like, you know, what's next? Oh, the next biggest party, the next biggest this, like, and that's great. But it gets like, at what point do you say?
Yeah. peace out.
Yeah. And like, for what I'm paying for rent, like, what I'm going to be paying living in a one bedroom, Like, Jesus
ridiculous. Christ. Ridiculous.
I could have a house.
I know. Sasha, you do realize, like, I know that you know, but it didn't hit me until I moved out of, and obviously Boston is, like, even less than New York, but we were, like, right in the middle of Boston paying insane amount of money for rent, and then I pay literally a third of what I did in Boston here, and it's, like, way more space, so nice, and I'm like, what did I do? But so it's just crazy when you're in a city, like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my rent expensive. That I'm. I mean, my rent that I'm looking for a one bedroom, I mean, is like
gross. Like
$4,000, $5,000, $4,500.
So and like, bad.
And yeah, it's like crazy, right? So it's like, I can afford it.
But that's what you get for living in New York.
Yeah. And like, I again, I'm saying this to everyone listening, don't live beyond your means. Like, I'm not trying to live beyond my means and like get a really sick place. But like, you're looking at these places that like, if I want to live in this place and spend this last couple of years or live in like a nice place, like, that's my choice. I'm willing to do that. But like, please don't spend more than $1,800 for rent in New York. Like, if you're moving here, like, unless you got better means than I did, like, just like, please, like just live in Brooklyn. Like, you don't need to live in Manhattan. Don't get caught up in the allure of New York.
Times Square like you did.
Oh, that was awful.
So that's your advice. If anyone's moving to New York and you don't know New York, I knew right to move there. I'm like, why are you moving to Times Square? Oh, we covered so much, but more about your work. I guess obviously your work days, weekends are so different, but what's like a typical work day in Sasha's life? Like, you wake up to when you go to sleep. What's like a typical day in your life?
Okay, I wake up. I've been on this gym kick in the morning. So I wake up around like 5:30. And
yikes.
I go to the gym at 6.
Too early.
I get showered. Depends on how I'm feeling. I either cook, but I don't cook that often. I'm a good cook. I need to do kind of better, but I either cook breakfast or I stop at the bodega and get like a bagel or a wrap and then head to work. And I'll be at work from like 8 to 6. And so I work. Yeah, but for like finance and hedge fund, like, it's actually like really not bad hours.
Are you working way more than 40 hours a week?
I mean, what is that? That's 10 hours. It's 50 hours a week about. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. And then some days you're longer. Some days you're less, not as long. Some days you're working like 14 hour days.
Yeah. Some days you're like, it's 11 PM. I'm still here.
Yeah. But it's not like investment banking, which like gets really rough. Mm-hmm. And then I'll either go out to dinner, cook dinner, go on a date, play video games. Like, it's pretty much simple, but like, you're with your friends and like, and I work in the office Monday through Wednesday. So I'm actually in the office Monday through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, not. And so maybe like you do a weekend trip somewhere, especially during COVID, it's a little hard. So maybe you just try to go to a secluded place or like you drive upstate.
Do you just like hang out with your roommates once you get home from work or your girlfriend or?
Yeah, one of the two. Most of the time, either like hang out with the roommates like Monday, Tuesdays, and then Nikki, I'll either go out to Brooklyn Wednesdays or and she'll come into the city.
They have their days. Monday, Tuesday for the boys. Wednesday, girlfriend.
because I see her all weekend, right? So I see her like from like Thursday to Sunday, and we'll normally spend Sunday night together. And then like she wants her own space. I really don't care. If she wanted to still, whatever. She wanted to stay as long as she wanted. But like, Sunday, Monday, well, Monday, then I'll be the guys, Tuesday, with the guys. And like, we'll do like dinners on Thursdays with all the guys. And I actually just took my like 55th test. I get tested every week. I get tested every week for work, some weeks twice. And I've never had COVID, which is crazy.
Woo. Yeah, I'm just more impressed than anything that you can wake up at 5:30 and work out at 6 a.m. until 7.
I don't know. It's called pre-workout. You just down it and then you just go again. It's like
I've never done pre-workout, but are you just like buzzing?
Oh yeah, mine's like a thermogenic one, which means you get really hot and so you start sweating a lot. So now I'm like, yeah, guy,
I look at you on the treadmill, your face is like beet red.
Yeah, no, I like truthfully, like I don't sweat that much, so it's really nice, like because I like to feel the toxins kind of leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
all your Saturday and Sunday cocktails.
Exactly right.
When you had one too many cocktails.
Too much Yave.
All the Yave. So I hope you guys learned a lot from Sasha. I love hearing his advice for like getting what you want in life. Like, no one is better than Sasha at like asking for what he wants and just like finding success in that way and seeing things that he want in life, like come to fruition, if that makes sense. Yeah. You're just really good at like attracting the things you want into your life, advocating for yourself, manifesting all those things and talking about like post-grad life, moving to New York. Thank you for joining us, Sasha. This was
my pleasure. My pleasure. I love listening to the podcast.
You do?
Sometimes.
In the background.
Yeah. Where I'm working at my desk, the happy hour podcast.
You have on. One AirPod in.
Yeah, exactly.
For some motivation.
Exactly.
So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. It was so good. And I will catch you in my next one. Bye.